Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. Hope you're all right. I'm Bex. If you don't know by now, if you're new around here, we're a podcast for theme park fans. So if you are one of us fellow enthusiasts, I think you might like it around here. I am joined this week by someone I think you're going to know. It's Chris, but you'll know him as Coaster Dad. Chris, welcome to Parkcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's your first time here. I can't believe it. Should have got you on much sooner.
Well, I'm here at last. That's the main thing.
Yeah, you're here now. That's the most important thing. And I wanted to get you on because although the UK season for 2026 hasn't yet started, I almost feel like there's been untold drama already amongst the theme park community and what's going on in our theme parks. And I know you've got a bit of a mission this year to try and support some smaller UK theme parks. So I want to talk about that and what your reasons are for that, because there's been a lot of chatter online already with people already not happy about theme parks, which as enthusiasts, we get accused a lot of just complaining and moaning all the time. But sometimes it's with good reason. So let's chat about it. Let's chat about what's happened so far. Let's look to the season ahead and let's see how we think this is going to go. So let's start with what's happened this week. Well, actually, the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of drama online around Merlin because of the whole ride access pass thing, which we won't cover in this episode, but that got everyone chatting about Merlin. And then they were like, well, we're open for half term, and actually the ride access pass trial isn't going to happen. So it is business as usual for half term at Merlin theme parks. Yep. You went to Alton Towers.
I did.
For the pirate takeover.
Yep.
Please tell us, how was it?
So I did Merlin on the Sunday and I'd done Blackpool on the Saturday. I think I did the exact opposite of Theme Park Worldwide. He went the other way around.
Is he avoiding you?
Yeah. Like, where's that Chris going? I'm going the other place, right. It was very different vibes. Now, part of it, just to be clear, and I said this in the vlog, the Sunday everywhere seemed to have horrific weather, right? Which obviously plays a part on how good your day is.
Yeah.
The one thing I found really strange about the Pirate Takeover was nobody was doing the pirate part of it. CBeebies was absolutely rammed with queues of like 60 minutes, 80 minutes for Octonauts and the treetop thing. And then Pirate Bay was empty.
So
I'd been advised based on the Saturday to do Pirates first because it got really busy. It didn't get busy when I was there at all. Like, I just walked around. I did the whole thing in like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay, that's that done then. I've got my Freddo. Yay.
So that's the little... not quiz, but it's
activity. The sort of treasure hunt type.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I thought was really, really well done. I thought it was quite a good idea. And, you know, I think kids would absolutely love that sort of little challenges. I got completely stumped by there's a riddle at the end, which it's finished now, right? So I can say, basically, it was like, I have a head, I have a tail, but I have no body, right? Everybody I've spoke to has almost instantly got it, except for me, because I literally was confused for about 5 minutes.
Is it a coin?
Correct.
What do I win?
I was like, I cannot believe I'm 45 and I cannot solve a simple riddle. Like, this is nuts.
There's like 5-year-olds next to you going and collecting their Freddo.
Yeah. But to be fair, I mean, we got a Freddo and with inflation, they're about $5.99 now. So that's decent.
That's half the entry price alone.
Exactly. But then, of course, there's all the stuff recently because Spinball has not opened. And then they went, oh, let's open Wicker Man instead. I think it's okay. It's a good idea. But it feels like they were kind of pressured into that because they just couldn't deliver what they offered.
It's such a weird thing for me. I went to the Pirate Takeover last half term and actually I had a really decent day with my daughter, who was 3 at the time. She's 4 now. And for us, it was great. But I distinctly remember, I think I actually did a video about it, saying it was sold out like a couple of weeks ahead of half term. And it was really bizarre because we'd never seen half term sell out before. Mm. And I went with trepidation thinking, oh my God, it's sold out. It's going to be chaos. And the queues were minimal. Like there was really hardly anyone there. So I can only imagine that this year they've either got rid of the cap or massively upped the cap. Compared to last year, to see the kind of queues that you were seeing in CBeebies Land, which seem insane.
It's just insane. And there was like, I mean, I'll do a kid's ride just for, you know, for a laugh, but not on the queues that long. And there's no way I'm standing 60 minutes for Octonauts. I say...
A cred's a cred, isn't it?
Cred's a cred, absolutely. Yeah, once. No, it's not a repeat cred, you know.
I think I saw on Sam Coastertog's video that the queue for Octonauts at like 70 minutes, which when you've got, I mean, you've been there with a young child, they're not doing that, are they?
No, absolutely not. And that's where I'm kind of like, so how do they spread that out? Because like it's obviously, so maybe the thing is maybe they're targeting the wrong audience, you know, by saying this pirate takeover, and yet everyone's like, I just want to be in CBeebies. So maybe you need to kind of rethink that. I don't know. But I mean, as I say, the pirate bit I thought was really well done. The actors were great and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's just because of the weather, I only stayed for like 2 or 3 hours, which I think is the shortest trip I've ever done to Towers. But I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not standing in a queue at CBeebies. Spinball's not running. What else am I going to do? So
And to be clear, you a mail-in pass holder?
I am currently, yes.
So that didn't cost you anything in terms of entry
Not
to
in terms of
go,
entry,
but
no.
this is the thing. So the what do you what was the cost to you on top? Because you've still
I
got to
mean,
get there.
yeah, I mean, I had to put, well, I went to Blackpool as well. So it was two tanks of fuel. So there was 120 quid. And then there was a hotel, that was another 40 quid. And then there's food, you know. So, you know, and that's the one that always, I guess nobody knows, right? But people think, oh, but you're a YouTuber, you'll make that money back. But I've maybe made 20 quid on that video. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing it because I want to and just to kind of show people what it's like. But yeah, it's not profitable.
And so on paper, it seems like it's excellent value when it's 18 quid a ticket, even if you're not a pass holder. You're like, well, you can't fault Merlin on
Yeah,
Towers for
absolutely.
that. But again, I've done a video about this. Is it still good value when you go there and you leave after 3 hours? Because you're like, well, there's nothing to do. Or if you've got young kids with you, kids are crying because everything's an hour long queue. Would it be better to go, actually, do you know what? It's 30 quid and less people are coming, or we're going to cap the numbers, and everyone's going to have a bit of a better day
Better
for
time.
it.
It's also the food thing, and I don't, I've never understood how Merlin does this, but well, I kind of sort of know, but I always seem to pick the place that isn't included in season pass discount. Like I
Oh,
went to one of the, it was one of the sort of metal sort of trucks, and I thought, oh, they're the ones from over at Oblivion, and
yeah.
I got whatever it was, and they were like, oh yeah, we don't take discount. And I was like, seriously, like why do you even have places on site that don't offer the discount? It just doesn't make so.
Oh, you'd think it would be really clear. There'd be a massive sign that says no
Yeah,
discount
I mean,
here. Not.
I sort of get it in Blackpool when you go to Burger King, right? That's a blatantly a different chain. Do you know what I mean? But like when it's actually some like an outlet in the park, you think it's going to be part of it, and yeah, I always pick the wrong ones. So
Well, I'm sure you enjoyed your £15 hot dog and chips or whatever it was. Oh, God.
£10 for a hot dog. What on earth is going on?
Honestly, I mean, either we're getting way too old for this, or someone is making a pretty profit on
Listen.
that.
Somebody said somewhere at one of the other Maryland locations has got the same rollover dogs, hot dogs for like 3 or 4 quid.
I
It's like,
saw
and I'm
that.
like, you're the same company. What was going on? Just mental.
I don't get it. It's bizarre. Okay, so in summary, your trip to Alton Towers for half term wasn't the best. Pirate takeover element was good, but everything else,
And as I
not.
said, the weather definitely played a part in that. If it had been drier, I might have stayed a little longer. Definitely, if Workman had been open, which it has been lately, I definitely would have stayed a bit longer because that's been on 5 minute queues. That's unheard of.
That is crazy. And I do. People message me because I said get Wickerman open, and then they did. I mean, I'm clearly going to take the credit for that one. But people said, "Oh, well, you don't need Wickerman open because it's a kids' event." And it's like, well, it doesn't have to be a little kids' event. And actually, there's lots of kids who are like tall enough for Wickerman, and who want that slightly bigger thrill, who would have gone on Spinball, and Wickerman's perfect for that. It's in the perfect location. You know, if it was me, I'd be like, get Hex open, get Curse open. Like, why not? They're indoor attractions. They're going to soak up some of those queues. They've got, a lower height limit. We're not talking 1.4 height limits. And why would you not? Obviously, they did at Christmas, so it would have been nice to see. I can only hope that next February half term, there is a sort of, well, okay, what do we do? Do we go back to capping, or do we actually say there's a demand here for theme parks in February? Let's try and get some more of our stuff open. That's the way I would rather they go, rather than capping the numbers right there.
It's an interesting one because I think that brings a whole separate topic, right? That everyone's questioning by the time Universal comes along, will any of these parks move to 365?
I know. Can you see it?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, there's part of me that's like, do we really want that? Do you want to go to Blackpool when it's chucking it in rain in January, sort of thing? But you know, because there's two sides to that. I mean, I've done Poland and I've done Germany in -6, right? And they still run their coasters. They do not care, right? So it can be done. But then you've still got to do maintenance at some point, right? So then throughout the season, rides will be closed, not during peak season, but you know, you might turn up and your favorite ride's shut. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Like, is there enough demand for it? I don't know.
I think that the parks with a lot of indoor attractions, I think, could definitely get away with it. And even if we don't go to 365, maybe you go to like a Europa model where you're shut for six, seven. I mean, look at Poulton's. I think they were shut for about 6 weeks. Back open, full park back open. And yeah, it can definitely be done. Okay, so moving on from your Alton Towers Merlin experience, which I know it's not the whole Merlin experience before anyone starts shouting, but Alton Towers was your Merlin experience for Feb half term. And we'll go to the other side, which is Blackpool Pleasure Beach, which I think it's well known you are a big fan of. You go there regularly. It's your probably your closest theme park.
Home park.
I
Yeah. 3 hours away, but yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it. It's fine. And obviously, so you wanted to go and see their offering for Feb half term. I seem to remember that you went 2025 Feb half term and had not a great day.
It wasn't the best. It was definitely more enjoyable this year, that's for sure.
Okay. So what was better? Was it just the weather or the vibes or what?
See, that's the tricky bit. That's where I struggle to compare the 2 days because weather obviously impacts it, right? And it wasn't a great day because it was still freezing, but it was dry and it was sunny, which makes a big difference versus Towers where it was chucking it. But yeah, like everything, like I was going to say everything was open. Dora closed because it's getting some work done to it, and much though Maryland can't get Spinwall working, Blackpool couldn't get Blue Flyer working. So you know, each park had their own challenges. But the rest of it was running. There was no queues on anything. I like Wallace. You know, that was included in there. And their food offering was a little bit limited, to be fair. A lot of the places were closed, so I was a little bit frustrated with that. But yeah, it's tricky because I do, as you say, it's the park that I care the most about because it's where I went as a kid. Just, I'm always conscious. I'm a being biased here. I'm a being honest. But as you say, last year I didn't have a great time, and I said that. So I like to think I'm fairly honest in how my day went.
Well, I noticed with Pleasure Beach this half term, they had what I would say is a great offer on. I think it was 30, was it 33, 35 quid? And you could go all week,
Whole
basically.
week.
It was a whole half term ticket, which, you know, we say the £18 for Alton Towers is cheap. I mean, that's a bargain, right? If you've got
That's
kids off
nuts.
on half term, even if you pop in for a couple of hours every day, that's brilliant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was great. Did you feel though that the word hadn't got out that it was open? I mean, if there was no queues for anything, is that because the ops were just good or there just wasn't many people there?
I mean, it wasn't busy for sure. Although there was more people than I think the year before, or it felt like it. I haven't gone back and looked at that vlog to be sure. But yeah, there was a few people contacted me after the video because obviously I got it out ASAP saying, "Oh, I'm going tomorrow. I'm going the next day." It's good to know you're entering the different. So you know, it was that first weekend. I don't know how busy it was throughout the rest of the week. Maybe it picked up. But yeah, I don't know. Everywhere I see on socials, I kept seeing their adverts for February half term. So it felt like they were at least talking about it online. So, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of, I perceive a lot of stigma against Blackpool. I mean, there's that against Maryland as well, right? Every park's got its haters. So I don't know if it's just that, oh, there's nothing in Blackpool, what's the point in going type thing, but maybe.
Which we know as enthusiasts isn't the case, and I think a lot of enthusiasts hold Blackpool very dearly to their hearts. I am one of them. I'm same as you. I got taken there as a child. My dad got taken there on holiday when he was very young. So it was, you know, Blackpool was the place to go, and we used to go there on weekends quite a lot as well. This is kind of where I want to kind of get into the nitty-gritty with you about our smaller parks and supporting them, because to me, Blackpool is a park that does need our support, probably more than ever. And you have instances where Merlin are literally throwing out season passes. If you book a hotel night, you get a season pass, like come to our parks. And you know, can't blame them
Crazy.
for it. They've got to get people into their theme parks as well. But I do worry that somewhere like Blackpool kind of gets lost in that, where they can't compete on that level. They can't just go giving out season passes because they don't have the huge conglomerate behind them to kind of soak
Exactly.
up those expenses.
Yeah, and I think that's the big problem, right? Is that there's always that narrative as well, and the media are sometimes worse for it, is saying, oh, £60 to get into Blackpool, and it's like it's £60 if you turn up on the day and you haven't planned, which
Yeah.
I get some people do, and the argument's always, but Blackpool's a seaside town. You might just go, oh, I'll pop into the Pleasure Beach. You're not going to walk past Towers and go, oh, I'll pop in. Like, I know they're different, right? I get that. But at the same time, like every place you go to, if you turn up on the door, it's more expensive. So, it gets a lot of flack for that. The challenge with Blackpool and every park is we're all struggling financially to have the same disposable, right? Everybody knows that energy costs, food costs, petrol, everything's gone up. But the parks' prices are going up as well, right? Their staffing costs are going up, their energy costs are going up, their food costs are going up. So it's like, and as you say, the big guys like Merlin can maybe swallow some of that. But the other guys have got to pass that on to the consumer, otherwise they're going to sink. So, and that's where it's tricky. It's that balance of how much can I afford to charge to keep the door open, but not price myself out that my audience can't turn up.
And this is where I get, again, I think Merlin have kind of disrupted the market a little bit in that even on the gate, we say, oh, £60 on the gate, oh, that's steep. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot. If you've got a family of four of you and you're paying £60 each, it's an expensive day out. But take a family of four to the cinema and you're spending 30, £35 probably for 2 hours. So I always kind of have that in my head and go, well, yes, if you pay on the gate, it is the by far the most expensive way to go and visit a theme park. And I think the percentage of people who spend £60 must be absolutely minuscule. But even if you did, is it that bad value for a if you go to a theme park and actually you're not spending all day in queues and you've got, 40, 50 rides and attractions to go on, unlimited, as many times as you want. Is even that bad value? Are we just warped into thinking that £60 is now bad value for a day out at a theme park?
I think that so there's a few things. I did a video a couple, was it last year before, where I tried to work out the value of the park, and I basically said, right, I've not paid for this, I've got a season pass, but at the time it was £50 on the door, and I can't remember how many rides I got on, but it worked out at like £3 a ride, right? And I'm like, and I remember, I think it was Thrills and Food posted, it used to be £4 for the big one back in the 90s. With inflation, that would be a tenner. So for that price, you're getting what, five shots on the big one, and then you're done. Whereas you can have unlimited rides. It's like people, and that's the other thing, people keep going, bring back paper ride. And it's like, you'll do one ride and you'll be skint. You're not going to like this.
No, it's not going to go well. I do think there's a pressure on, and I think it affects the smaller parks more to keep their prices as low as possible, like to not put them up at all. And it just makes me worry that that is not sustainable. It is not sustainable to keep us allowing us in for £30 for a full day at a park with unlimited rides, especially somewhere like the Pleasure Beach, where we know a lot of their rides need a lot of maintenance and they're historical rides and they need so much TLC to them. They've got to be able to fund that. And for personally, and I'll get shot down for this, I'd rather spend an extra £5, £10 to get in, maybe go a little bit less. And know that that park has a sustainable future.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, I mean, it's 130 years this year, and like you, it's my park. It's now my kids' park. I'd like it to be my grandkids' park, etc. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and we've seen too many parks close. Do you know what I mean? Like Oakwood last year was a shock.
Oh,
I'm
don't talk to me
so
about
gutted I never got to Oakwood.
Oakwood.
And then Flambards and all these other parks. I mean, Breen, we almost lost Breen, and then they've come back from the dead. Like, it's a realistic worry that these parks are just not going to be here.
They're not going to just keep going because we want in our hearts for them to keep going. Like it's got to, the
Absolutely.
sums have got to add up. And
Absolutely.
so this is kind of where I guess you got to this year and you said, right, I am going to like out and out support UK theme parks this year. I guess this is the reason why you want to do this.
Pretty much. I mean, there's a few reasons for it. That's one of them for sure, because I don't want to see or miss out on another park that I've never done. I've got a big trip to Florida this year, so money's a little bit
Nice.
tight, so I'll be staying close to home. And yeah, it's just there's loads of new places I've never been to. So plus, a lot of my audience, like whilst they appreciate seeing some of these international parks, there's a decent chunk of them that are like, I'm never going to go there. Like, can you show some more UK stuff? So that this year's goal is to tour as much of the UK as I can.
Have you got somewhere that's like your number one? Like, I really want to make sure I get there.
It's funny. I do have a list of about 30 parks that I'm going to try and hit up this year. Now that includes some of the big boys. I'm going to obviously go back to Thorpe and Chessington and all that sort of stuff, but there's quite a lot I've never been to, and I'm curious about Lightwater Valley. Like I've avoided it like the plague because of the direction it was going, right? It just I looked at it and thought, should I do a vlog? And I went, there's literally nothing there that but you know, there's obviously a glimmer of hope now that it's changed hands and they've already started putting a couple of rides in, and you know, they've said they want to try and get back to a kind of wider offering. So yeah, I'm really keen to see what that place is like, because I did it years ago when the Ultimate was there, but my kids were so young, I didn't do the Ultimate, and I'm absolutely devastated that I never got on that. Not that I expected it to be an excellent ride, but you know,
Just
any
one of a
coaster made by,
kind.
well, anything made by British Rail, you know, I mean, I'm sure a leaf on the track and it was late, you know. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's a good one to go to. I guess, I mean, we will class Flamingoland as a smaller park in this list, will we, or
Yeah,
not?
do you know, it's
I
one.
do have beef with Flamingoland. I'm just going to put that out there.
Do you know what? It's one of those that I go to it, or I have gone to it the last few years, and I've always come away going, I'm not in a hurry to come back here. Do you know, it's just like, it's weird because on the face of it, they've got some okay rides, right? Sick is a decent ride. Kamali's actually not bad. Mumbo Jumbo's hit and miss. Hero's
Hero.
terrible, absolutely terrible. But the other thing is, everything there is single train operations, right? So, like, I seem to have been lucky and gone on quiet days, but I hate to think what that's like when it's busy. And the Lost River ride, that's been what, 2 and a bit years, and it's still not back yet. Like, that's the one thing I'm like, I might go back and try that. And
When
they're
it's a
obviously going to.
huge drop. Have you seen the reprofile
Terrifying.
drop on?
And obviously they must have something coming, right? Because at long last, Flop has left the building. So, you know, presumably that's making space for something in the next few years, but yeah,
I know,
it's
I
a funny
feel
one.
bad saying, oh, I want to, obviously want to support these smaller parks, but that is just one of the parks where I'm like, I've just had too many bad experience. I want to support you, but you're not giving me what I need, and I'm not going to be a glutton for punishment and just keep going back to be whipped some
Yeah.
more.
No, I know.
It is hard. I think it's a park with so much potential, but for me, it's not going to be one that I probably go to for a couple of years. It's not that I don't want to support it, it's just I have tried to support it and I haven't had a
It's
great.
always backfired. Yeah, it's a, that's the other thing, right? And I guess as enthusiasts, we can recognize this, but you know, we can visit the same park, whether it's Towers or Blackpool, 4 or 5 times in the year, and you'll have some good visits, you'll have some bad visits, right? We kind of turn a blind eye to it because, well, I'm going back in 3 weeks' time anyway, so you know, whatever. I've done these rides a million times. If you're a family that visits a park once a year or once every other year, and you have a terrible experience, you're just never going to go back. Do you know what I mean? And it's, I get things happen, but these parks need to try and be more consistent. And frankly, a lot of them are not, you know, they just are all over the shop.
Absolutely. I think I've talked about this before, and it is the curse of the enthusiast to A, have a season pass, so actually your cost per visit isn't as high as people who have had to pay gate entry. But yeah, you just think, well, it is just a weekend out for me, and I'll go back in a few weeks. And actually, I don't care if I don't go in on Oblivion today because I've been on it a million times before, and it doesn't bother me if I don't ride it. But for a family who it might be their first trip or their first trip in 3, 4, 5 years, then obviously they want to try and go on everything
Yeah.
in it.
I mean, it's like, so, I mean, I was on the content creator program at Towers, right? And I know that got a lot of flack. I never had any issues with it. People thought they were trying to censor us. They weren't. They did have a go at us, though, because they were like, you know, just be careful with the wording of your titles because it can impact the brand. Like, my opening day 2 years ago, I literally said, what a disaster, because it was a shocking day, right?
Was that the
And they also,
Toxicator
that was the
one?
Toxicator issue. Yeah, actually, but that was last year, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last year. It feels so long ago, but it's one of those things. I pride myself on being honest, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat it and go like, "Oh, this park's amazing, but I had a terrible day." Like, if it's a good day or I like something, I will say this is really good. If it's not, and there's room for improvement, because I care. It's not because I want to moan about it. It's like, please do better, you know. And I get people will look at that and go, "Well, I'm not going to visit because it's terrible," but I couldn't consciously go, "It was excellent. Please go visit," and then somebody has a shocking day.
Yeah, I think you would feel responsible. And it's just not, most people are, who do make theme park content, I think, are honest about these things. I think there's very few people who are going to just be like, oh no, everything's great all the time, because we know it's not. If you find me any park in the world which is great 100% of the time, maybe Europa Park, but no, there isn't. Like, it doesn't, everyone has a bad day sometimes. It's just how often are the bad days compared to the good days. I think
It's also perceived nowadays that if you're not negative, you're not being truthful. And it's like, come on, you can enjoy something, you can have a good time,
exactly.
you can like something. It's just,
We are enthusiasts. Someone said to me the other day, no one hates theme parks more than theme park enthusiasts. And I'm like, well, yeah, I can kind of see why you'd think that sometimes.
But it's because we care, though, isn't it?
It is. And we go a lot. So we see things and we notice when things go downhill because we've been there before and gone, well, it didn't used to be like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get frustrated with it. Another small park which is having a bit of a resurgence in 2026, Pleasurewood Hills.
Yes, indeed. So I visited that one. Was it 2 years? No, 2 years ago, I visited Pleasurewood Hills. And because of how far away it is for me, it's like an 8 hour drive, which I'm not doing this time. I'm flying down. I'm not that stupid. But I did drive the last time. So I had to leave at like 2 o'clock to get home.
Oh,
And
yeah.
the day I was there, two or three of the coasters weren't running until 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I'd left. I was like, well, that's just typical. But it does feel like the new owners, I mean, they're, what's the four rides they've said they're
Four
putting
new
in?
rides, yeah, two coasters.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm going this year. I've got that booked already. So I'm looking forward to seeing what there. Because I think it's got potential. It's another one, maybe not as bad as Oakwood, that's like a little bit tucked out of the way for a lot of people, but I think it'll be good to see what they do with them.
What about hitting Great Yarmouth when you're kind of down
Yeah,
in that neck of the woods as
that's a
well?
yeah, I'm doing Great Yarmouth that, and I'll probably pop into Joyland as well whilst I'm down there.
Get on the snails.
Yes, and get absolutely battered in that tub twist.
What more can you want from a day out?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about Breen, because as you said, that we thought it was going. There was an announcement which kind of insinuated it was going, and then there was sort of an announcement a week later saying, no, we're fine. I know that that was a park you visited last year with, and you were there with Dean, weren't you? Who's been on Parkcast a couple of times. You
So
both ended up there at the same time.
we've been invited down to Creeley for their announcement of what's coming this year. So it was myself and also ride comparisons as well. So the three of us ended up at Breen the next day. Which it's one of those, like, obviously I was like, oh, that's Astrostorm, that's Space Invader from Blackpool, I need to go. And listen, it's not the best ride, but it was good to be a little bit of nostalgia and get on that old ride. So
And I always think like they're kind of stretching the truth a little bit when they call themselves a theme park. It's probably more of an amusement park is fair. But would you say you can still have a good day out there?
I did. I really enjoyed myself. There's only a couple of standout attractions. The ghost train is fantastic. Really, really enjoyed
Is
that.
it?
Like, my partner came off and she was like, that was absolutely terrifying. But there was like a little kid that just kept lapping the thing. It was probably one of the more gruesome versions of a ghost train that I've seen in a while. And then Astro Storm, that was good. A couple of coasters there as well. And a few flats. They've got the go-karting, which I didn't do, but I might do this time when I go. So yeah, listen, I think it's a decent day out. And they do have unlimited wristband or paper rides. So you've got the kind of the option of both. I don't know how expensive it is to do paper ride, but it's an option if you want to go down that road. So
I guess if maybe you're on your way somewhere and you just want to call in and just do the ghost train and
yeah.
Astrostorm, then it's worth just doing
Job
that.
done.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I think somebody said, I don't know, there used to be a, was it a pontons or something that used to be there that shut a couple of years ago? And I
Yeah,
think
I
that's
think,
kind of impacted, how much footfall they get. So that's probably part of it.
It's a little bit tucked away, but yeah, if you're going down to Devon or Cornwall in the summer, it's definitely one you can kind of crawl past
Yeah.
and dive
There seems to
into.
be, so there's a few others down there that I've not done. I think there's, was it like Camel Creek or something and Milky Way or there's a few things. So, I'm definitely going to tackle the whole Devon corner of things this year.
And Devon's a lovely place to go and visit anyway, so even if you're not just doing theme parks, it's a nice break anyway, and you can dot it in with a couple of theme parks. Creeley, obviously, you've mentioned as well, putting a couple of new attractions. And I think that's the good thing is we're talking about these small parks, and actually, it's like, well, Pleasurewood Hills is getting four new attractions. Creeley's getting two new attractions this year. So they are investing. It's not like, oh, they're just kind of disappearing off into oblivion. Like they are trying to actually make these places better.
Yeah, and I think that's the tricky bit, right? Because, yeah, what was it they say? You've got to spend money to make money, right? You've got to
Yeah.
put something in to draw people to the park. And it's the same with like Evictus. There's a lot of people who think, but I'm really buzzing for Evictus because I've done
Yeah,
Locate
same.
and I think it's fantastic. But is it enough to turn the park around? Absolutely not. It's not, but it's going to get more people there. I think a coaster is needed. I'm sure they know that. I just don't know what their budget looks like in
Yeah.
terms of when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think they've, from what I've kind of heard, they have plans. It's just a case of making the numbers add up to justify it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was joking with Andy Highgate, like, because I did, so you've done Iron Rattler. I did
Yeah.
Siren's Curse over in Cedar Point, right?
Yeah.
Like you, absolutely terrified to go on the damn thing, but came off it buzzing. I was like, that is absolutely fantastic. And I was like, if we had one of them in Blackpool, that would sell itself. On social media, people would just be like, have you seen this thing? They wouldn't need to do any marketing to get that.
Absolutely. I
That would
think I've
just
said
be.
exactly the same thing the other day. And what I hope, if they could go for something like a tilt coaster, which I just, it is absolutely perfect for Blackpool Pleasure Beach. But they've got to get in there first, because if Thought put one in or something like that, then the game's
Yeah.
gone. And it's like, oh, I would just, I know it's not this simple to just go, just stick it on a credit card. Like,
Yeah.
just get
Take your credit card, Jesus.
it, Bill. JR, get the damn thing open. I mean, the spectacle, like, we take it for granted, tilt coasters. We've seen them, we've watched them get built, we've seen the concepts for them years ago, and we're like, oh yeah, now they exist. 99% of the British public have no idea that a thing as a tilt coaster exists. And you see one of
Absolutely.
those going up on the Blackpool skyline, and you'd just be like, what the hell is that? I think it would
100%.
have the same impact that the big one had when it was built.
Yes, for sure. And I think you said it in your vlog. I thought it was quite appropriate. Like, it's not a one-trick pony, right? You do that tilt, there's an impressive coaster after it. And
Yeah.
then Vekoma are in such a good spot right now. They are like silky smooth.
Oh,
I was blown
so
away
good.
by it. Just, you know, that the tilt is the bit that kind of gets your attention, but the coaster is fantastic.
Yeah, I think I said if I could get on the coaster after the tilt,
After the tilt,
I would be more likely
yeah.
to ride it again. I'm genuinely terrified of it, of Iron Rattlers. So I'm same as Siren's Curse. But that is very kind of specific to me, being very, very scared of heights, but a coaster enthusiast. I think for most people, you'll just find it exhilarating, and it is, it's an
Yeah.
unbelievable sensation to have all your weight pinned onto this vest harness. It's
I saw your
crazy.
logic of I'll do the front because then I'm lower down. Yes, but then you can see there's nothing in front of you. I've done
I know.
that.
I think next time,
Whereas,
if I go on it again, I'll sit mid-trade, maybe.
yeah, I think on Sirens I did front, back, and mid. Back is definitely where it's at. Front, if you want to scare yourself senseless,
Is
because you
was
can
back
see
not
it.
as scary?
No, I didn't think so. I just, but you're, it takes you longer to do that drop, so the drop feels much better. You know,
Yeah.
it's only a trade length, but it's enough that you kind of get absolutely whipped down. So, yeah, definitely back.
Yeah, it is
But you are
crazy.
taller.
Yeah, I still don't know if I'm going to ride Iron Rattler again. That's up for debate. But yeah, totally with you on that. That if Blackpool Pleasure Beach are going to build any ride at all, any roller coaster, I should say, Amanda, if you're listening, get on the phone to Vekoma. They will not let you down. It would be such a cool investment. And
Absolutely.
yeah, but I appreciate things that are not quite as simple as that. We did very quickly touch on Oakwood, which you said you didn't, so you never got to Oakwood.
You know, Scott, your experience guide was doing an event in 24, and I had something booked the weekend that he had it, and I'm so gutted because I would have, I mean, if I didn't, I'd have been there.
Yeah.
Again, it's another park that's just, it was so hard to get to for many.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's hard to get to for me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I would have loved to have gone, especially with a group of enthusiasts. And it was, I literally had what I was one of those, next year I'll go and do that park. And then next year didn't come.
I think there's quite a few people in the same boat, coaster enthusiasts,
Yeah.
who for some
Which
reason,
is,
like 2025 was going to be their year to ride Megaphobia, and it
yeah.
just didn't happen.
Which is exactly why this year my focus is like, let's, God forbid we lose some more, but let's go and try and experience things whilst they still exist.
Yeah, I mean, Oakwood was my home park. I'm from South Wales, and I spent many happy childhood trips on weekends at Oakwood and riding Meggie. And it hurts my heart. I've said on the podcast before, it hurts my heart to see it stood there like it is. And my initial sort of optimism that something would happen to it and save it is diminishing sort of every week that goes past, and it is a crying shame. For me, megaphobia was as intense as Woden. Like it was that kind of whippy wooden coaster, and it's such a crying shame that.
It's I did a history series on it just recently, and it was bizarre to see because I split it into two parts. So the McNamara family running the park, and then Aspar running the park. And it's like chalk and cheese seeing the contrast. And the number of times that Aspro said, "Oh yes, we're investing 2 million next year," and then nothing happened. You're like, and when it closed, we're like, "We've spent so many million on this park." It's like, yeah, but that's over like 12 years. That doesn't equate to a lot of money, actually. It's like, and they've obviously now gutted it and they're moving everything elsewhere. So.
It's heartbreaking. And if you are listening to this and you grew up in South Wales, you'll know how much that park sort of meant to you as a Welsh park. It was like the only Welsh theme park, and for it to have just gone. Everyone talks about megaphobia, but actually, if you grew up there, we talk about the bobsleigh ride, which I think is still there. I guess they can't do anything with that because it's literally built into the terrain, and the big sort of vertical sky jump, I think it was called, slide, where you lower yourself over the edge and you go down that. And those are our memories. And it was such a beautiful park in the 90s. Very green, very nicely laid out. Everything felt like it had a place and it fitted, and you could just see it going in one direction, and then it just stopped. And if you
Went
visited in the
away.
last sort of 3 4 years of its operation, you didn't get the same experience that we did back in the 90s. And it's such a shame because it could have been a really, really special place. I know you kind of feel my pain. Like, obviously, living in Scotland, that you don't have a huge selection of theme parks close to you. Like you say, Blackpool is like your home park, essentially.
I mean, there's M&Ds, and I did visit that last year, but I mean, that's probably, I hate to say it, that's on its last legs as well. It stripped out everything that was once made it a park, and who knows what's gonna happen.
Do you find it bizarre that, a country the size of Scotland doesn't have a.
Yeah, I mean, we used to, right? We used to have Loudoun Castle and a few others, and every time I go to Blackpool, all I hear is Edinburgh and Glasgow accents. Like, there's a demand. The Scots want to do stuff, and then Flamingoland tried to do something up here. But I think it was more of a leisure park than a theme park, and they wanted to do it at Loch Lomond, so that did not go well, and they just kept getting backlash. But I don't know. It's funny. I kind of like look at Universal coming and think, does that mean nobody's going to invest in the UK now? Because what's the point? Or does that mean everybody's going to invest because there's now more demand? So it's like, and it could go one of two ways, right? So.
I mean, we have the discussion a lot. We just don't know which way it's going to go. I am of the mindset it's going to be a very positive thing for the UK attractions, but maybe that's just me being very positive about the whole Universal thing. But
I mean, Bolton said that when we were at the Superfan event last year. Lawrence said that is what was the phrase, like rising tides lift all ships. So he's like looking at it like, look, this just means we all have to up our game. And I know Amanda's looked at it. I think she's hoping that the government then sees the benefit of these sort of attractions and helps. I suspect the government will not do that, but I think that's her hope is that, well, look, there's a we need these tourist attractions, help us out.
She's been very positive about the whole Universal thing as well. So yeah, you do think when, well, if the family-run parks are saying this is going to be a good thing, then hopefully it is a good thing for everyone, and we won't see any more big losses to our attractions industry, because
Fingers crossed.
it's a difficult time for everyone, not just attractions, but everyone. And we do need these parks to survive. Chris, it has been absolutely lovely chatting to you at last. So you've got a trip to Orlando coming up this year. Is
Yes.
that your classic Disney Universal?
Yeah, it's my eldest daughter's 21st and my youngest daughter's 16th, so I'm going to be skint taking them over to Florida. We're staying in Florida, in Disney for 1 week, and in Universal for the other. So we're doing it on site.
Perfect.
Hence why pennies are a little tight, and I'm going to focus on the UK this year.
Well, just think of all those 20 quids you're going to get from your
Yeah, exactly.
That'll
That'll
pay
make
for
it up to the
a
thousands it's cost
freestyle cup. Are you going to
to
Epic?
make. Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah, you'll
100%.
love it. I'm very interested to know your thoughts on Stardust Races.
Yeah, it seems to be either people are like, oh, it's the best thing in Florida, or people are like, eh. So
For me, it's
it's
the best thing in Florida. It's still my number one coaster, and I've done Falcon's Flight. And
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Stardust is still my number one. Falcon's Flight is a close
Oh.
second.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah. So interested to hear your thoughts on that. And obviously, lots of vlogs coming from there. And then your UK stuff. Any other plans for the rest of the year?
Not currently. I would like to get back out to Energylandia because I went last month, and of course, it's a lot of things are closed in the summer. Sorry, in the winter. So I want to go in the summer. And I'm not sure what other parks. There's so many parks I want to get to, but getting time off work and having the money is the challenge. So it's spreading it out because I'm basically going to take 2 weeks off work to drive around the UK. So I've got 2 weeks in Florida, so there's 4 weeks of holiday gone. Then there'll be the odd random, like I'm assuming I'll get invited maybe to a Victus launch. So there's a day I need to take off work. So yeah, I don't know how much I can get away with this year, to be honest.
It is the curse of the coaster enthusiast that we want to ride all these things, but yeah, fitting them around other commitments
And we need
is
a day
tricky.
job.
Honestly. Right, it's been wonderful chatting to you, and I'm looking forward to following your adventures this year, wherever you're going, whether it's in Florida or the UK. Before you go, I have one more question for you.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It, and it is the part of the podcast where whenever a guest comes on for the first time, I say to you, if every roller coaster in the world was going to get destroyed and you could only save one, which one are you going to save and why are you going to save it?
Oh, that's tricky. Because the automatic thing is to say, "Oh, I'll go for my number one coaster," which for me is Top Thrill 2 in Cedar Point. But I don't know if it's the only one I would save. Oh man, that's tricky.
Hey, we're not here to be easy.
Because there's so many coasters have different meanings. Like Nemesis isn't the best coaster by any stretch of the imagination, but it was my first big coaster, so I'd probably save that. I'm sure there's stuff at Black. That's a tricky question, Bex. Thanks for that.
If it makes you feel any better, many people have trodden these footsteps before.
Yeah, and failed. Right. Okay. I'll go with my number one coaster. Let's save Top Thrill 2.
Top for us. See, that's interesting. I've still not been to Cedar Point. It's a sore point on this podcast. I had a trip booked in 2020, which obviously got cancelled, and then I had a child, so I've not been able to go, and it's been on my bucket list for literally 26 years of my life, and I've still not been. So make me very jealous. What is so good about Top Thrill 2?
It's just the speed of the thing, which I'm sure if I experience Falcons, will probably surpass it. But I mean, I never experienced Top Thrill Dragster, to put this in context. But I went on that, and again, I thought it would be a back row ride because of that spike. It's 100% front row ride. That
Is
the
it?
speed. I know people are like, oh, it's a swing launch, so it's not that punchy a launch. Maybe not, but by the third launch, when you're going up that, it is going at some speed, and it is just gigantic. So yeah, I just absolutely love the thing. Absolutely fell in love with it.
It's an absolute bucket list for me to get there. And you prefer that to Steel Vengeance?
Yes, so me and RMCs don't have a great relationship. I don't like their trains, so I appreciate the layout in that, but anything that is violently trying to kick me out of the train is just too painful. So there's like three RMCs I can tolerate, and that's not one of them, unfortunately. So
Right, okay. Interesting. Well, I'm saving it for you. I'm putting it into the vault. It's protected. You'll be pleased to know. And so that's good for me because it means I can go and ride it in the future. When I eventually get to Cedar Point, and please tell me or just lie to me when you say it'll be worth it when I eventually get to go.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I mean, I only had one day there, and I was with Mark from Your Experience Guide, who was sort of like my tour guide. He's like, right, we do this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. Because I thought there's no way I'm getting all the creds. I got all the creds. Except
Really?
there's one kids coaster that you have to have a child to go on, so I did not get that one.
Okay.
I got the rest.
Oh, it's the dream. Right, Chris, thank you so much for joining me on podcast. Of course,
Having
I
me.
said you'll know him as Coaster Dad. If you don't know him as Coaster Dad, you know him now. You can go and find him on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you want to find him, with his very real and very honest vlogs in his own unique style. I'll put it like that. There's no one quite like Coaster Dad. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a little rating. Let us know what you think. And if you haven't already, if you hit subscribe, then you'll never miss an episode. So if I'm not here for a week, you'll get a notification when I release the next one. For now, though, we've been podcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.